Welcome to the Left Brain Artist Podcast. I'm Suzanne Redmond. Before we get into this episode, I'd like to talk about something I haven't mentioned on the podcast before. I'm actually very active on Instagram. I have two accounts. One is called The Left Brain Artist, and that's where I post notices about each new episode, as well as other information about the podcast. The other Instagram account is my personal one, and it's called Suzanne Redmond Art. On that account, I post artwork that I've created or art receptions that I've attended or anything else that I think is artistic or cool. Feel free to follow both of these accounts because they're a great way to learn about me and my podcast. Now, let's start this episode. Each Wednesday, I interview an artist and we talk about their artwork, their business, and what's next for them. On Fridays, I do these mini episodes where I go into a little more detail about one aspect of that artist's business. This week, I interviewed Eduardo Mendieta, a mural artist in West Palm Beach, Florida. Murals fall into the category of public art because they are free to the public to view. Today, I'm going to talk about public art, what it is, and how the process works, so that you may consider applying to create some public art. Public art is any art that is displayed in public places. It can be in a park, on the side of a building, in front of a city building or office building, or in a building like an airport or a parking structure. It can be large or small, still or moving, interactive or not, made from any type of materials, and it can be permanent or temporary. It includes murals, sculptures or monuments, installations, performance, and landscaping. It can be specific to the site, or it can be placed anywhere. First of all, why should you consider making public art? You may say, but I'm just a painter. I don't make sculptures. Or I'm an artist, but I don't make really big pieces. Well, that may be true, but you may want to try anyway, because they're large jobs, and that means a good-sized paycheck for you. And because they are displayed out in the public, that means great recognition for you. Just remember that all public artists had to tackle their first large piece. They survived, and you can too. Also remember that large pieces of art are usually not a one-person operation. Depending on what it is and the size, you may be hiring other experts to help you, like engineers, metal fabricators, landscapers, lift operators. Really, just anything else you will need to do a large piece of art. Don't think you can't propose a metal sculpture if you've never even done welding. When you're planning your proposal, you'll show your design to a welder, and he'll determine if he can make it based on your design. You won't necessarily be doing all the creation, assembly, and installation yourself. But you're being hired as the artist, and you'll be expected to design it and execute it all within the budget. You'll have to make sure that the costs for all the necessary subcontractors needed to design, create, and install the project will be included in the budget and the contract. Public art can be managed by a governmental entity or a private business. In the case of governments, and I just mean like cities or counties, they have very specific rules for their public art. Often these rules fall under the Department of Art and Public Places. So that's your first thing to know if you're looking to find public art opportunities. Go to the website of your city, neighboring cities, and county, and see if they have an Art and Public Places program. If they don't, their public art might go under the Planning and Zoning Department or even somewhere else. Or it just may be that your town isn't large enough to have a public art budget. You'll have to do some digging around on the website to see what you can find. Notification of art projects can be found on their website. You also may be able to get on an email list where you'll receive notifications. The notification might be called an RFP, or Request for Proposal. The RFP will tell you what they're looking for, what time period, and the budget. Then your job is to come up with an art project that fits their parameters. I know I'm really oversimplifying the process, but I'm just trying to give you an outline of what public art is all about so that you can look into it in your own area. For private businesses, they may put notices on their website or Facebook page, or it may just be word of mouth. Your best bet is to see which businesses have done public art before and see if they're doing any more. You can also find notices about art projects on callforentry.org or publicartist.org or on Instagram, hashtag callforentry. If this is the first time you're thinking about doing public art, you'll probably want to look around town, find existing art, and try to contact those artists. Ask them how they got the project. Ask them how it was working with the city or business, and ask them if they had any problems installing the art. Some artists may not be helpful, but it won't hurt to ask. Cities may also put out an RFQ rather than an RFP. An RFQ is a request for qualifications. They'll do this so they can determine if you are qualified to do a large piece of art. They may ask you about your previous projects or about any special skills you may have, like welding, or if you're using specialists who will be doing that part for you. When you submit a proposal, often it will go through a bid process. That simply means you are in competition with everyone else who has submitted a proposal. They'll look at the price you proposed, and they'll analyze and compare your skills and experience. Often they'll narrow their choices down to three proposals. They may ask the three artists to present their proposal in front of their Art and Public Places Committee, or they may give them each a stipend to develop a design and model for their project, then they will review them. For murals, they'll expect a sketch ahead of time. For any project, if it's for a government rather than a private business, they may require that no political or religious statement is made. The sketches or models may go through a focus group review. All of this is to say that it's just not the quickest process to plan a work of public art. You need to go through lots of steps before you're even awarded the contract and then before you even begin the project. Now, I'm going to say right now, the bigger the project, the bigger the chance of going over budget or making very little money. When you're inexperienced at planning big projects, you may forget to include something in the budget. And if it's not in there, you won't get paid for it, even if it's necessary to get the project done. So talk to other artists or engineers or fabricators who have done these kinds of projects before. Make sure you have examined all that is needed to create a large piece of art. And don't bid on it if you can't figure out how to do it or you can't figure out how to do it and also make some money. When designing your project, you want to include things that will help the artwork last over a long time and in all kinds of weather. Some cities may give you a time period that it should last, like a mural that should last 5 years or 10 years, or a sculpture that should need very little maintenance over the first 10 years. It's your responsibility to make sure your artwork is built with durable materials and that it can withstand the type of weather that the area is prone to. I once heard of a very fancy building that was put in a northern state. The building had a crazy curved roofline. Well, after it was built and after a few months, they got into winter, and this area always gets a lot of snow. Turns out the roof design allowed snow to pile up right over the front door. When the snow got too heavy, it would dump a huge amount onto the ground below. That was quite the design flaw for right over a doorway. Not too far into that winter, they had to redo the roofline to adjust for the usual heavy snowfall and reduce the risk of anyone getting injured while going into the building. Now, some people may say that the architect should have taken the weather into account when designing the building. Well, yes, absolutely he should have. You should too when you're planning a public art project. Another example I can tell you about is some artwork that was put on a bridge overpass here in Florida. It was a series of metal panels that curved and were shaped like flower buds. The problem was that very soon after installation, they got very rusty from lots of Florida rainy days. The artist tried to argue that they knew that would happen and that it's a natural weathering over time. The city and its residents disagreed, and they thought it was very ugly in its rusty state. A large portion of the sculptures had to be replaced with metal that wouldn't rust. This could be a very costly mistake for an artist, and I'm sure a few lawyers got involved to determine just who had to replace those art pieces. Don't think you don't have to worry about things like that if you're just painting a mural on a flat wall. For muralists, you have to think about how much the paint might fade in the sun, or if the majority of the mural might be covered by a snowbank for a few months out of the year. As Eddie said in our interview, they may require you to finish it with a UV coating so it'll last longer. You need to ask the city or business owner about that. Don't assume that if it isn't in the contract, you won't have to worry about it later. It's your job to anticipate everything that should be included in the contract. Now, have I gotten you too scared to even attempt a public art project? I hope not. They can be interesting challenges with great rewards. Some art projects stay up for years or even decades. Some towns' whole identities get wrapped up in their art. Just think about the sculpture in downtown Chicago that is affectionately known as the Bean. That's the bean-shaped, shiny silver piece that is placed in a public square. If the town tried to get rid of that today, they'd probably have a riot in their hands. It's become too big of an attraction for visitors to Chicago. Don't worry, most public art isn't quite that large. Look around for some calls to art, and you just may find a project that is the right size for you to get started in the world of public art. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Left Brain Artist. As always, if you like what you're hearing, leave me a review on iTunes. If you subscribe to this podcast, you'll get each episode downloaded free every week. You can also find this podcast on most other podcast apps, so use whichever one works with your phone. And remember, look for me on Instagram, either with my personal account, Suzanne Redmond Art, or my podcast account, The Left Brain Artist. This podcast is created and produced by me, Suzanne Redmond. The music I use is from Squire Tuck. You can find a list and link to all my podcast episodes on my website, suzanneredmond.com. I also include show notes on the website for every episode. I'm Suzanne Redmond. See you next time.